Godspeed with Carol Hollenbeck, Sundays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Godspeed Institute, an enlightening and positive forum exploring the world's religions and spiritual belief systems as an on-air classroom in an effort to help people better understand each other, promote tolerance, and foster peace. I'm your host, Carol Hollenbeck. Rick Hayes is a published author, inspirational speaker, the founder of Life's Gift Incorporated, and what many define as a world-renowned psychic medium. Since 2003, he has brought inspiration and life-changing insight to thousands through personal consultations, media appearances, and speaking engagements. His books and audio files include Stepping Stones, Thoughts Along Life's Path, which shares insights on topics including reincarnation, trials in life, and proof of life after death, several books on the paranormal and reasons for hauntings, and Your New Life Attitude, in which he shares the one thing you can do that will change your entire day, how to grab your stars in life, what to do about negative feelings, and much more. Rick, welcome to the Institute, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Carol, and it's an honor and a pleasure, and just thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about today, but based on your bio, I imagine a good place to start, or at least a question that came to my mind, was what were you doing before 2003?
Well, actually, I share with everyone that, you know, I was just a regular guy in a regular world, and I was following my path. At the time, I thought it was my path of purpose, and I was in the corporate business. I was very successful in the marketing, in corporate marketing, and I did that up until 2003. But at the same time, Carol, as I was going through what I felt was a happy and successful career, there was always something within me saying, "This is not where you're supposed to be in your purpose path in your life." And I was, you know, I tended to ignore it. And in fact, tended to, because of the abilities I was given, I was being told these things as well on my path. And I knew there was a time and a place for me to begin my path in life. What I really felt I needed was to do along my life and in my career. And, that all began in late 2002. So before that, I was just, growing up as a regular guy in the corporate business and enjoying life.
Now, where did you grow up, and did you grow up in a particular faith tradition or spiritual family?
You know, I really did, Carol. I grew up in a very religious upbringing, and I'm very proud to say that. My mother was a preacher's daughter. My grandfather, who I love, had moved on when I was about 9 months old. And by the way, when I say move on, you know, the word is death or dead is used quite often, and the way I feel is the definition of death or dead means an end. And I know in our life that we do not have an end in life. We simply transcend to a life after. And so when I share that it's move on, that's basically basically what I've been known for is this is the guy that says move on a lot.
But, oh, I like that.
Yeah, and you know, so I grew up in my background and faithfully was very faithful. I grew up in a church atmosphere because of my, you know, growing up with a mother whose dad and my grandfather was a very highly respected evangelist and very, very respected for his path. And so, you know, I grew up going to church and knowing that there was more than just life here. By going to church and learning these teachings, but also with the abilities I was given at an early age, also recognized there was more than just life here. So faith was and still is a very, very important part of my life.
Now, thank you very much for that answer. Rick, how did you come to learn or realize that you were psychic or given specific gifts and abilities?
Well, I usually say, I didn't get hit by a Mack truck one day and just happened,
Right.
I do feel that when we are created, we're given many, many gifts in life upon creation. One of these gifts is the abilities to know that our loved ones who have completed their path here on earth and transcended into their life everlasting is still around us and still guiding us and still showing that they love us. And so, the abilities I have been given, I feel we all have, but I feel, Carol, as we're growing up, that especially as young children, as we're growing up in society, we're told the things we're seeing is imagination, the things we're hearing is coincidence, the things that's going on is coincidence. So we start blocking these abilities or these gifts that we're given, where we get to then we totally ignore what we've been given. For me personally, I recognized very early in my life that I had been given something by my Creator. And it was to show me that there was more than life here. And probably the earliest I can recall was around 4 years old. And I was one of those little guys who would get out of their bed in the middle of the night, sneak into mom and dad's bed. And, they'd wake up, very loving parents, but they would wake up, take me back in my bedroom and lay me back down, say, go back to sleep, you're having a dream. And I would look at him and say, but that man over there in the corner keeps talking to me, So I recognized that at a very early age, but because I wanted, at the time where I felt, as I was continuing to grow up in life, I felt I was not as everyone else. So because of that, I kept these abilities to myself for many, many years.
Well, I can imagine, yes. So your first reaction was to hide it. Then in your life, how did your career path evolve? Did there come a time you just could not ignore it anymore?
Well, then there was. And it was because of me. I was continually throughout my life. I was being, these loved ones. I continually would see them, and I got to a point where I would ignore it. But I did this until I had an experience. I call it a life experience in the fall of 2002. And throughout all my life, up until that point, I had not shared these abilities with anyone because I didn't always use the word. I didn't want everybody to think I was a freak,
it's scary. So I just
kept it to myself and in the fall of 2002, I was working in the corporate business and I was reported directly to the owner of the company. And every morning we would get together and we would go in, we'd have a cup of coffee in her office and we'd go through the day's events. And this particular morning in the fall of 2002, I walked in as I did every day with my cup of coffee. And as I walked into her office, Carol, I looked at her and she had tears streaming down her face. And I sat down and I said, is everything okay? She began sharing with me how a loved one, a friend of her and her husband's had been, she just got off the phone with her husband, and a friend of hers, her and her husband's had just been raced to the hospital. He was battling cancer. And she began sharing with me about this individual, and she began sharing about his family and about his daughters, and she began crying more and more. And the whole time she's telling me this, there was someone else next to me in their body of spirit saying, tell her. And I kept looking, and it's almost like I was arguing with him because I was saying, no, I can't tell her. I like my job. I don't want to get fired, because I've never shared it. And so, finally, it at that point, after consistent back and forth battering between him and myself, I began sharing with her that about this loved one and about the messages I was receiving. This was on a Wednesday afternoon. I'll never forget it. And the following Monday afternoon, she came into my office, and she looked very distraught. But she came right over and gave me a hug, and she began sharing with me that this loved one of her family's friend had moved on over the weekend, and many validations I had shared with her what this particular person had shared with me, which happened to be this person's dad, began sharing with me. She said many of the validations had been acknowledged throughout the weekend. And she stepped back, Carol, and she looked at me then, and she said, Rick, why are you being selfish? And I looked at her, and I said, what do you mean? And she said, why, you have such a gift. Why are you keeping it to yourself? Why are you selfish? Why aren't you sharing this with others who you can help? Mm. And from that night, after that point, I went home, and for the first time in all these years, I've never realized that I was being selfish. I was given something by my Creator, and I was not sharing it. And I went home that night, I prayed, I asked for guidance from my loved ones, and then the next few days I made the decision to begin sharing this. And we began Life's Gift in March of 2003, and I share with everyone today that it is just a phenomenal life. Many, many things have happened since then, many, many positive opportunities. And, and that's why I share with everyone when I share this part of the story of my life. I share with them any time a door opens along your path, it is a door of opportunity for you to walk through. It is opening for a reason. Walk through that door because it is a part of your path of purpose to reach opportunities that you never knew were there.
Thank you for sharing that story, Rick. I think many can probably relate to that and to what you were suggesting there, which is people being afraid or perhaps thinking they're being humble when it was actually brought to your attention it was selfish. Sometimes I think we misunderstand humility to only mean, you know, knowing what we can't do, but I think it also means stepping up to what we can do.
Absolutely. So absolutely. And it's just not, you know, we're talking about my psychic medium abilities, you know, as the selfish part. But if everyone would just look at what the little blessings in their life each day and the little blessings that they've been given and the opportunities they've been given, you'll realize that the more you reach for those, and the more you approach those, and the more you walk through those doors, the more you'll see the less selfishness you'll become. Because you're given many things in your life, and those things are to be shared.
Now, making the transition as you did, I mean, it's not easy for anyone. We have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of history of people who make that jump, to the leap of faith, as it were, to the mystical path. Even folks so revered like Francis of Assisi found his family could not support him or you know, remain in his life because of judgment. So there must have been some kind of fear involved with, you know, what's going to happen if I make this my entire life now and step out of this, you know, sort of the grid or the box that we're kind of expected to live in. Any difficulties in making that transition?
You know, most of the difficulties for me came upon whenever I was actually growing up through my life. And it goes back based to my, you know, my religious upbringing, because some of the things that I was given in abilities, my religious upbringing was saying, no, this is not right. And so, you know, and it scared me. And it frightened me because I was thinking, you know, basically my statement is I didn't want to go against God. You know, I love God, so I didn't want to go against him. And if this is wrong, why do I have this? And so it was very difficult for me. But I will share this. I really realized since 2000, late 2002, and began Life's Gift in 2003, I've never felt more positive, more confident with the abilities given, and I've never felt more spiritual and more connected than I've ever been in my life in these last 9 years. So as far as being frightened, being fearful, in one of my books I write, the only fear you have is fear itself, but to understand will eliminate the fear. And I think that's, you know, that's not just with the spiritual side, I think it's with everything in life. You know, we fear what we don't understand, but the more we understand something, the less we become frightened with it.
Right, right. And of course, so many stay within what they do know, even if it's a limited, you know, happiness. And I think many can relate to that as well, because, you know, we do know it anyway, but then perhaps we also know we're not living fully at the same time, and we know that there's something more. So thank you for sharing about your path. You mentioned your books. I'd like to get into some of those. They cover a very broad area of topics that are fascinating. Why don't we start with Stepping Stones?
Okay.
In there, let's chat about that one.
Okay.
And get into some things like, for example, reincarnation and other topics in that book.
Well, first of all, I want to go back to, I'll just share this with your listeners.
Sure.
When you walk through that door of opportunity, when that door opens, it will lead you into different, diverse opportunities that you never knew you had the positive aspect of doing. For example, writing. I did not realize I could actually write a book. I mean, I was one of those that, you know, I had to look at the guy next to me in English to get through high school, you know. So I mean, you know, when I wrote the first book, it was, you know, it was totally, I just thought, you know, something's telling me to write. And I began writing the book, and that book led to other books. One of the books was Stepping Stones. I wrote the book. The book I had, when the book came out, I had someone said, you should have titled it Chicken Soup for the Paranormal Soul. And I said, I would, but I'm afraid my friend Mark Victor Hansen would be a little upset about that, so I couldn't quite do that.
And his attorneys, too.
Exactly, absolutely. And Mark's a fantastic person. But the book is a combination of short stories, factual stories, based on just my thoughts, from questions I received, different stories about my life, some of the experiences in my life. For example, one of the stories is I was actually sitting at an airport waiting for a plane to come in. And I began watching these individuals coming in off the plane and coming in through the gate. And their loved ones that was waiting for them was standing there waiting for them to come through that gate. Huh. And I was watching all this, Carol, and I began thinking, you know, this is what it's like when you complete your path here and you move on. You know, they're waiting for you at the gate, and they're excited, and you're going, when you go walk through that gate, they're going to hug you, and they're going to say, it's so good to see you. And I started thinking about this, and that's where that story for that part of the book, Stepping Stones, came in. So it's just a combination of many different thoughts, of questions that I've received, questions of life, and questions about life after.
Hmm. That's a great image you just painted there. It just reminded me of a movie called Defending Your Life.
Sure.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes,
of the, and the phrase they use in there for full onward movement, which we always refer to in our house. It's a fun movie. In terms of thinking about the afterlife, but perhaps has a little more truth to it than we might realize. Now, when you say in this book, when you explore reincarnation, how has that appeared to you?
Well, you know, that is a question often asked of me, and I'm still learning about reincarnation. The first thing I usually share is, you know, individuals will ask me, they say, do you believe in reincarnation? My immediate response is, anything is possible through our Creator.
Right.
Is it possible that our body, I do know that when we are created, we're given a physical body like no other. We're given a purpose path like no other. We're given a spiritual energy or a spiritual body within like no other. And so is it possible that our Creator could take this spiritual energy and say, I would like for you to go back on earth and take this purpose path and put it in a different physical body? Absolutely so. The questions I have is, you know, it's almost like to me, Carol, that when we complete our path and we go into our spiritual energy or spiritual body, it's almost like we're being taken off the shelf, you know, and dust it off and saying, go try it again. It's almost like overhauling in the engine again, you know.
Right.
And so there's questions, and I'm the first to share with everyone, you know, when Rick Hayes completes his path and he moves on, his creator may say, sit down, Rick, we got a lot to talk about because you were wrong on a lot of things. So, so you know, but can is recreation, is reincarnation possible? Absolutely so. Now, I do feel, though, there are times that we feel that it is reincarnation when it actually is a loved one who is guiding us through their own experiences when they were here. A quick example of that is about 6 months after I began sharing my abilities with others, I received an email from a friend up in the Upper East Coast, and she was young, and she began sharing with me how she always felt, for some reason, she always felt very connected to this city over in France, and she was in the Upper East Coast of the United States. And she described the city. She described what the place looked like. She described what she was wearing, and she said this was in the 1800s. And she said, now, I read your book, Stepping Stones, and I read what you thought about reincarnation, but she said, how would I know all of this? My response to her, Carol, was, I would check your family tree because you might have a loved one who may have lived there at this time, and you may be going through something in your life right now, and she's saying, back when I was your age, or back when I was here, this is what I did in my life. And sometimes they give us such details that we actually feel like we're actually there. So about 7-8 months later, I got an email from her, and she said her and her mother got together, started retracing their family tree, and she said, we were absolutely amazed to find that our family tree not only goes to France, but also is connected to the city that she kept seeing. And she said they went a little deeper and found out that they did have family that lived during that time that she was seeing in her visions. So, you know, could she had a loved one that has moved on that she never got to know, but is still around her and saying, let me help you through this part of your life because this is what I did, and helping her in through visions? Absolutely so. Could she have been reincarnated at one time, been in that area? Absolutely so. Anything is possible through our Creator.
That's a fascinating story, and yes, many people are drawn, and as young people, to other places and other times, and not knowing why. And that's a wonderful insight you just shared. Thank you very much for that. Now,
you're welcome.
When you started to, you know, openly share your gift and make yourself available, I imagine, for consultations, did people just come flocking? Is there a particular, is there a need that you're fulfilling for folks that they are not really able to, you know, explore freely elsewhere? What was your discovery about that?
Well, Carol, you know, I've always felt that you allow things to just happen. I'm not saying to just be a couch potato and just expect everything to happen for you. I'm saying just allow things to happen. You know, I'm one of those that really truly feels if you just allow your Creator to take control and guide you and lead you, it will lead you to different areas. Now, as far as the individuals, the personal and private consultations I have, you know, at the very beginning, it started with a few, but I could tell right away that it was going to be one of those that was going to be one of those needs through different things in their life. Is going to be one of those needs where those few is going to start sharing with many. And my whole thought at the very beginning, Carol, the reason I created a life's gift was not to bring Rick Hayes to the limelight. It was to share with everyone, as many as I could all over the world, that life is truly an everlasting gift. And so, you know, and it just started snowballing, you know, and now I had no clue what my schedule is. You know, I just go. That's what I am to do. And yes, I've seen some changes in the last 9 years. When I first came into this with disability, I saw many people grieving. I saw society was putting a lot of stress and pressure on them, the individuals, even on our young adults. And it seems to me especially in the last 2 years, everyone is becoming more and more spiritual. And I think it's a good thing.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, as we go along, we find, obviously, the material world and financial world, they may not be as sturdy as some other things that are, in fact, you know, culturally considered, ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me when you come out of the background that you did, and come across, let's say, the reaction that it's not perhaps what your gift is might be superstitious and not necessarily in the faith. But we know in the New Testament, for example, there are many gifts and many abilities, including the gift of prophecy.
Absolutely.
So have you found some way to, I know you say the faith is still at the center, but have you found some way to sort of reconcile these, the extraordinary gifts you have with your childhood experience of spirituality?
I will share this. One of the things that really that taught me with these abilities, not just understand that there's more than life here, but it's also taught me to learn, to continue learning, to continue researching. As I said, at a young age, I was concerned, I was frightened that these abilities was something I wasn't supposed to have. And instead of just being taught in church and just being taught what I was hearing by members of the clergy, I took it upon myself to really study. To really study the biblical scriptures and to really study not just the words that was written in the Bible, but also in other writings, and also look at the history of the time that the Bible was actually written. And so what it has done for me is actually has taught me, and I to this day I'm still learning every day. I wake up every morning and I first thing I share is what am I going to learn today. And by doing so, it's really helped me to just be comfortable, totally comfortable with my life and with what's been given to me.
Mm. Thank you so much for that, Rick. We are about halfway through the program already, and we're just going to take a short break and come back and talk more about your other books, The Reasons for Hauntings, and other information about your consultations and the many ways you help people. You are listening to the Godspeed Institute live on the Progressive Radio Network. We're going to take a short break, but afterwards we'll continue our conversation with psychic and life consultant Rick Hayes. Here's a song by the artist Adragante from their album Harmonie Cosmique. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Godspeed Institute, live on the Progressive Radio Network. We're talking with psychic and life consultant Rick Hayes. Now, Rick, you've shared so much about your gifts, the afterlife, how it evolved into your basic full-time line of work, and in a larger context, could you share with us, since you know we know, for example, from the world of science that we're only able to see about 10% of what's around us, most of us, what we call visual light. That's
right.
Pretty much all human beings have. And, of course, in the great book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, suggested that if we saw more than that, perhaps, you know, we'd basically lose our minds if we saw everything that was here. But what can you share then that, you know, because people want meaning and they want to make sense of life here and death as well, or moving on. What is your vision of the spirits around us and the energies, as you said before, on life on Earth?
Well, and again, the whole key, the main key, is to understand that your life is truly valuable, not just here, but for everything, for every moment that you're given here, is to embrace that moment. And because for every moment that you're given here, you're going to get that much more value when you move on, when you go into the life after. So really the whole key of the whole life itself is just to embrace every moment that you can and to grasp it, and do not let any moment get away from you. You know, as far as myself, I've learned through spiritual guidance that, you know, a guy like myself who grew up in the Midwest and got a little bit of a Southern accent and went to college in Florida, that there is so many great, wonderful opportunities in this life for everyone. So that's, to me, Carol, that's the key right there, is to start your day not just saying what is the spiritual visions around me, but begin understanding yourself and really believing in yourself. Now, once you begin doing that, I really feel you'll even become more connected spiritually. These spiritual energies that are around me, they come through for me in many different ways. They come through to help me to share the messages with their loved ones through either, I see them in what I call a spirit light of energy. Many in this industry talks about balls of light or orbs of light. I actually see an elongated light very bright in the center, and that's sharing with me that there is a loved one here in their body of energy. I hear them. They speak to me just like we're talking now. Only the difference is that we must understand is that they are no longer in their physical body. So that means they're no longer in their physical voice. They're in their spiritual body's spiritual voice. They talk like we're talking right now, but sometimes, because I'm still in my physical body, I can only hear one or two words, and I'll put that in a sentence for their loved ones. If I'm wrong, they usually tell me I'm wrong before the actual loved one will. So you know, there's many different ways, and there are many different concepts of that they're around us. They give us physical signs is another, but the key is, and I like what you said there about we only grasp about 10%. The key is to allow yourself to expand a little bit more, and you'll start noticing this spirituality around you even more.
Mm. Now, a good deal of your work moved into the realm of hauntings, and I can see the connection in terms of your gift, in terms of connecting with the afterlife, folks in the afterlife, and messages and such. But what differentiates the situation of hauntings, and how did you get involved with that? Was that
First of all, in the paranormal industry, they call it the paranormal industry. I'm a little bit different. They expect me to be wearing black shirt, black pants, and you know, with a turban on my head and a crystal ball walking into the. But I mean, and it really I get a lot of eyes open up even wider when I start talking about being positive, having that positive energy and being positive about life itself. And they're sitting there saying, I thought you were going to talk to us about haunted houses, you know?
Right. Well, that's what the culture would say.
Yes, exactly.
So,
And
right.
so when it came to haunted houses, you know, haunted locations, they were really floored when I shared there's really a place that's not really haunted. And the reason I share that is because a house or a structure is just a house. It's just a structure. But once someone, let's use the example of a home. Someone yeah. purchases a home and they walk and they go in, they spend many years in this home, building memories, building experiences in this home. They may even complete their path there in this home and move on. But because of the memories and experiences in that home, they might still be around this home to help those who have moved in to maybe help them to get the experiences, memories in the home as well. And so I share with everyone, you know, a home is not haunted. A house or a house, it's just a house until you start building your memories and experiences within that house. And then it becomes a home because it becomes a home because of the love that you put into this home.
Which is a very serious amount of energy, especially if it's over a long time.
Especially, and that's why a lot of the locations, I was just up around Gettysburg, Harper's Ferry, just a couple weekends ago for an event.
Wow.
And I went to Harper's Ferry, and just the energy there is just amazing. I mean, and it's a lot, and the reason is, Carol, is there's a lot of history there. There's a lot
yeah.
of memories there. And I'm walking, you know, the moment I got off the bus and stepped off, I looked over along the riverbank of it there at Harper's Ferry, and there was these Confederate soldiers walking along the side of the riverbank. They was walking to a certain location. And I knew right then and there, I thought, this is going to be an incredible place. And I don't look at it as being frightened with it. I don't fear that I don't look at it as being haunted. I feel haunted is just a word that is overrated. And you
well,
know,
yeah.
I truly feel it's just, you know, that it is a location, a structure that has memories and experiences, and really, who better to guide you and to help you to know about this location than those loved ones who've actually experienced it? And I actually call them tour guides. They're my tour guides when I go to these locations because they share with me all about it.
Now, are you able to discern, let's say, if someone believes their house is, or home is haunted? Like, as you said, you can discern that it isn't, because perhaps what they're sensing is just the energy, but not necessarily someone, you know, staying about?
Absolutely. So I've had many consultations where they have shared with me, you need to come to my home. There's something, some type of energy here. It's scaring us. It's frightening us. And that's, in fact, the first book I wrote was You're Not Crazy, You Have a Ghost. And it was based on a Victorian home. A family had moved into it. And within 2 days, they was having experiences and felt that they was going to have to move out because it was haunted. Now, what happened in that particular instance was that they asked me to come into the home. When I walked into the home, I immediately was connecting with the original owner, and he began sharing with me about how he felt the home should not be so much of a contemporary look, but more of the style that it was whenever he was there, and to keep mm-hmm. that memory and history there. And so the more we begin connecting with this individual, the more they begin to understand this individual, again, the less the home became frightening. And that's where, they lived there for another 5-6 years after that. They felt very comfortable after that. So a lot of times when I go into a home, are there evil energies? Absolutely so. I feel that they are a part of this earth. They're not a part of the life after. So if I walk into a home and I feel there's evil energy there, I recognize those because that energy is different than a positive energy. But one thing we must understand is that positive energy overcomes negative energy each and every time. And if you have belief in yourself, belief in your creator, have the faith, you have control. Mm-hmm. And that's the key right there, is knowing that you have control. If you don't have these three keys along with knowing that you have control, that negative energy can become more and more. But the key is to know that you have total control over the negative energy.
Now, when you said, as you did before, that, for example, at Harper's Ferry, that you could actually see a couple of Confederate soldiers walking in the area, you mentioned before, you know, the whole concept of moving on. Do spirits linger because of what we usually hear about unfinished business, or is it a choice?
It's exactly a choice. It's totally a choice. You know, that's another gift we're given upon creation here. In our life, is we are given the gift of choice in life. We can determine. Yes, we have a path of purpose that's basically created for us, but we're not robots here on this earth. We are given the gift of choice to make our choices along our life. And it's the same thing I feel when we move on. You have the choice, that same gift, to still be around your loved ones, to help and guide and protect them, and help them through their life. You have a choice to be in a location that you have maybe have spent many, many years in your earthly body. And when those who come to learn about, for example, the town or the city of Harper's Ferry and what happened there, they help us to learn more about it, to help us to understand what they went through. We went through Gettysburg that same weekend, and I immediately began feeling the energies. And the moment I got stepped out of the car and looked out over into the field, I could see these soldiers walking and marching, and I could see those huddled behind these large rocks, you know, in a battle formation. But one thing I didn't see, Carol, and I usually don't, is those whose bodies had already been stricken, had already been shot, and were laying on the ground. It was like, that's not what we want you to see. Yeah, and it's almost like this is what we were doing before we went into our body of spirit. This is what we want you to see. I always share with everyone that you know, I usually learn more about a location by, if I go to a location and for a film or something like that, I usually share with the producers, don't tell me anything about the location, because actually when I get there, I'll probably learn more about from those who have actually experienced this location more than you can tell me.
Right.
And that's what I usually do.
You know, it's interesting. I think, you know, there are certain places, Gettysburg is one of them, where so many people stand there and they feel it and they get chills and all kinds of things like that. And we sort of have an agreement around the world about what's okay, you know, whether it be Stonehenge or other places, sacred sites, sites where, you know, healings have happened or battles have happened, that we now sort of have a gravitas toward them that we can all feel. In fact, when I went some years ago, I discovered another place called Woodhenge, which is down the road from Stonehenge, and felt so much there, I kind of wondered if Stonehenge was a decoy. you know, to this other place that nobody really knows about or hears about. But so there are some things we sort of universally accept as sort of beyond us, beyond our understanding, Easter Island and other things like that. We don't really have much of an explanation for. But when it comes to the energies, which is particularly, you know, fascinating to me, the energies. For the, I don't know, remaining time we have left, can we share a little bit about the energies, as you mentioned, positive and negative, how they work in our days and in our lives, and then we can perhaps explore your book, The New Life Attitude.
Absolutely. You know, we are meant to live a positive life. We are meant to live life in a positive light and not so much in a negative light. For example, another definition of being a negative in a life is maybe a challenge. And if you look at challenge, you could look at challenge two ways. You could look at the challenge as, well, you know, this is disrupting my life, and become very, very negative about it. But if you look at that challenge in your life as just a temporary, and I shared this in another one of my books, for every challenge in life, there is a reward. For every challenge in life, there is a reward in life. For example, in a large scale, you know, we've had tremendous floodings along the Mississippi River and pretty well in my area. And, you know, in the last several days, we've heard about the floodings and what it's causing. But that's a challenge in these individuals' lives. But there is a reward, and the reward is people are reaching out to help strangers. There's individuals helping others, and that's a reward in life. And it's changing their life, and it's helping people become closer together. Families are coming together to help one another. And that's the reward in this challenge. And if you look at it, and if you continue each day by looking at your life as number one, it is like no other. Today, your day is going to be like no one else's. It is created just for you. It is a day like no other. And it is a very special day that no one else has like you. And if you wake up each morning and look at it that way in a very positive attitude and a very positive belief, you will overcome the negative.
Thank you so much. You know, when you share about that, like reaching out to help others through challenges, you're speaking, of course, of the most supernatural thing, which is love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to expand on that just for a moment,
a lot
of individuals in personal consultations will share with me, they'll say, for example, they'll say, well, what do they think of what we did with their house? What do they think we did with their vehicle? And I look at them and I say, well, you know, there's an old saying, you can't take it with you. But what they do take with, what you do take with you is the love, is the good memories and the love that you've had as a family and the friendships and those memories and experiences, the good memories you've had, that's what you take with you. And if you look at it that way, if you look at it as that is the most valuable thing of all, is the love that you have with one another. Because apparently that is what you take with you in the life after. You're not allowed to take your large homes. You're not allowed to take your vehicles because when it comes right down to it, there's no value to them in your life. What is valuable in your life is the love that you have.
Yes. It comes down to relationships, doesn't it? And
those bonds
are very strong. What in your work, I mean, it's very far-reaching. What do you most enjoy? What do you most enjoy doing in your particular, you know, range of gifts and ability?
I really enjoy what we've been doing in the last 55 minutes is just sharing with one another and talking about, you know, the many great things in life and being inspired with each other and the inspiration that comes from one another. And that's what I get mostly out of life anymore. It's just the inspiration I receive from everyone and just sharing thoughts and sharing, getting to know more and more spiritually about things. And, you know, as I said, this has thrust me into many opportunities I never would have dreamed 15 years ago. Never would have dreamed I'd write books. Never would have dreamed I'd be speaking, you know, across the country. Never would have dreamed I'd be on radio or television. And, you know, and it has brought me to these things. But every one of these things, Carol, every one of these opportunities has came down to one thing, has given me the opportunity to be inspired and to share inspiration.
Has it ever become too much? And you wanted to say, whoa, wait a minute, I need to step back.
Every time I feel like that, I wake up the next morning and I say, what do we have today?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very excited. People ask me, they say, Rick, are you physical? Do you get tired? I mean, your schedule is unbelievable. I'm exhausted at the end of the day, but I'm inspired. And this inspiration just says it will overcome the physical exhaustion. And it's absolutely real. The next morning I will wake up from a few hours rest and I, because of the inspiration, I'm ready to share once again. And I don't see retirement anymore. I really don't. You know, when I was in the corporate world, I couldn't wait till I was 62, you know.
And oh,
now
my gosh.
Now it's like I don't see retirement because I will probably be doing, you know, what my grandfather's doing right now. He's still preaching and he's still sharing the good things in life, in the life after, and I feel like I'll be doing the same thing.
Well, that's a tremendous shift, and you know, from the typical, you know, cultural goals that so many experiencing, especially in the West. You know, you reach your corporate, you do your corporate life, you retire, and then what? So your whole perception of time has changed.
Absolutely. I just, you know, and I'm the first to say I'm just so happy to be out of the corporate world. I really am, because it's just life is just, you know, a retirement is something you work for. It's a goal you set. It's not wrong to have retirement, but it's something you work for, something you set, so you can start living the life that you want to live. And my feeling is I'm in retirement right now because I'm living life the way I want to live.
Yeah, yes, and that's something, you know, for people to think that, you know, towards the twilight years or when they get to do what they really want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're sharing here a lot about meaning as well. Towards the end of the program now, could you just share a little bit about how your work has helped to bring meaning to people's lives and over the years and all the things they've been struggling with? An anecdote or two I think we have time for, if any particular exchanges stand out in your mind.
Well, there's been many that has inspired me through their life and, you know, through the changes in their life, quickly, you know, there's been many that have came to me in an emotion of total grief because of the sudden loss of a loved one, or the emotion of anger, the emotion of resentment. And by just sharing one session we have change their outlook and a better understanding, and at the same time it's inspired me, and I shared this at the beginning of the show, but if you look on our website, and our title, our brand for Life's Gift is that life is a gift, and if you begin looking at your life each day as it is a gift given to you, if you go through a loss of a loved one suddenly, there is a gift there, and knowing that they're still around. The second thing is to, and I said this earlier, is to really embrace, it has so much impact, embrace every moment that you're given. Because so many times I've heard, Carol, where the loved ones will share with me, and a good friend Mitch Album has written a book about this. They share with me if they wish they would have had one more hour or one more moment with their loved one before they moved on. They wish they would have taken that extra hour with them. And, you know, my thoughts to them is, you have that moment now. Embrace it. Take that hour. Take it now, because, you know, you don't know when you will complete your plan. And so take that, embrace that moment now. And if you embrace your moments every day, when you wake up in the morning, give thanks, make a commitment to make a change in your day, and get excited about your day, your life will totally change.
Well, you just said something that I think is such a tremendous gift. I'm going to try to repeat it and paraphrase it. When we look at our lives similarly to retirement, it has an end time here on earth in our minds that, you know, unresolved relationships, we have to have forgiveness and all of this now before the end. But you're suggesting that relationships continue, forgiveness, reconciliation can happen beyond the physical death of this life?
Absolutely. You know, in a very, very, it's confidential, but a very good example is just the afternoon, I was in a private consultation. The individual came in very angry at the loved one because this loved one had moved on with her not being there, very angry about it. And by the end of the consultation, her exact words to her loved one who was in there in spirit, her exact words was, "I forgive, I know you forgive me, and I forgive you, and I know, and I'm sorry for being angry." And it was just a total release for her. And she is now completely different. She now understands that she is still connected to her loved one. She understands that the forgiveness is there. And she understands that they love one another very, very much.
Because love doesn't end.
It's an ongoing thing. You just, you know, fortunately, you just can't get rid of it. It's there.
Well, we're coming toward the end of our show, and I want to ask if people in the audience want to learn more about your work, Rick. Can you please tell us where we can go, provide website info, etc.?
Yeah, the best best place to find what we're doing, and we're doing so many exciting things. We're going across the country right now, and we've got a seminar going on called Living Life Supernaturally. That's what I do in my life, is I literally live life supernaturally each and every day. And so we got that going across. But all these exciting things we got going on, you can just go to Life's Gift. That's all one word, LifesGift, LifesGift.com. And right there you'll find all the information. You also have contact there where if you want to share with me your thoughts about this show, some maybe some personal thoughts that you or comments, I'd love to hear from you because you inspire me as well.
And they can find your books there and audio files as well.
Yes, the books and everything is right there. I've got a great team, and they make sure that, you know, we wake up every day saying, what can we do today? And that's what we do.
Very good. I just want to thank you so much for being with us today, Rick. It's been a wonderful hour, informative and engaging. And I just want to remind folks they can follow you at lifesgift.com. And thanks so much for being with us today, Rick.
Thank you, Carol. It's been a pleasure. And as always in every conversation, always keep the faith.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for the Godspeed Institute today. If you would like to hear this or any of our previous shows again or send it to someone, simply go to GodspeedInstitute.com. All are invited and all have access. We hope you enjoyed the show and hope you will join us again as we continue to explore all the world's religions and spiritual belief systems and practices. Until then, we wish you Godspeed on your journey.